Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Figured I need just a little bit of extra energy to get through what is probably my least favorite position group to discuss. But yet and still, football is a trenches game, so you have to give these guys their just due and their proper respect. Even though I may be feeling just a little slighted because of the lack of performance on the interior last year, and I was really looking forward to it. I'm pretty sure I stressed that, but new offensive system, new head coach Jim Harbaugh, and Greg Roman is the offensive coordinator, so I expect drastic improvements on the interior. And if you want to be a running team, then you got to get the inside guys situated. So whether that's changes to the current personnel with the guys that are already on the team or adding some new flair in there, like I said before, I'm sure it'll get better. So what I'm going to give you here is my list of my top four, five total, including the sleeper, of interior offensive guys. So without further ado, let's get into it. Yo, I'm not gonna front with y'all. I still have a hard time believing that I allowed the Chargers to get me excited about interior offensive line play last year. It'll probably never happen again because boy, did they ever let Nas down. But no use in crying over spilled milk, right? So let's talk about a few guys here that you may be familiar with. There might be a few that you don't know all that well. Just depends on how deep in the weeds you're getting with your prospect study and how much you care about interior offensive line play. But also, just of note, if you hear any crossover between my list and Garrett's list when he covers the centers, it's because there are a few dudes in here that can play both, and that either speaks to their level of versatility or the fact that we just don't know where they're best at. Take from that what you will, but you know, again, just keep that in mind. So we're going to start this list off with, and this is in no particular order, you'll hear my grades at the end, and then you know we'll talk about where they stand overall when the video concludes. Graham Barton is going to be first up from Duke University. Yes. That Duke University, the one that you know best for basketball, but they have had some pretty decent NFL players in recent years. Do not get in the comments talking about Chris Rumpf. Don't do it. I'm not the one that drafted him. I wouldn't have. But this is an edge rushers pod. We're talking about interior offensive linemen, guard specifically, so let's stick with that. Stay on the rails here. But as far as Barton is concerned, super versatile. So he's not one of those doesn't have a position guys. He just does a lot of things really well. I think as far as a list of positives and negatives, this might be at the top of his positives list. He can play all five spots and he fits well in either a gap or a zone scheme. Chargers are probably going to be running more power and gap as opposed to zone, but he can do either, which makes him a fit really across any offense. So any team would be lucky to have this dude. And some of the other things that he really stands out with are his ability in the run game as a blocker. I mean, he's a high end run blocker. He shows the ability to consistently like keep his hands on the inside and generate power from his hips and reset the line of scrimmage, which is important as an offensive lineman. Lots of linemen, and it has something to do with the way that they're built. Some of them just aren't as physically gifted. They're not as bendy or flexible, have an issue being like waist benders. Graham Barton doesn't have to deal with that. He's pretty fluid as an athlete, and also love the fact that he will finish his food at the end of a rep, man. So if he can plant a defender, he will. It just all depends on if he can get like the appropriate leverage against them. And also, I'm a fan of his ability to use like varying sets in pass protection. So I saw really solid jump and vertical sets from him in pass pro. So again, just a good all-around player, and he moves pretty well in space. He shows range, and not only to get to like the next level, but to also square up and attach to like more athletic linebackers, and he'll wash them out of plays as well. He's always finding work. I mean, throughout his tape, I didn't really see him just kind of meandering about on really any given plays. And he really played out of his mind in 2023. I think I liked his 2023 film a bit more than 2022. So you just see the gradual improvement, and that's what you want to see from players year over year. As far as the negatives, because, you know, it's two sides to this. I did compliment him on the fact that he isn't like a non-athlete, but I still find him to be more of a technician than an overall like top end athletic guy. I would say he's probably just about average in that regard. He's not the longest or strongest guy by any means, and like the combination of the two is what makes him either a guard or a center at the next level. So don't be surprised if you see his name pop up again on Garrett's list of prospects, just because he's one of those, I don't want to call him a tweener, but just one who could probably end up either or. Wouldn't be surprised to see him at either spot. Sometimes he plays with his chest over his toes with like too much forward lean. Problem with that is it will leave him susceptible to like pull and rip counters. And the really good interior defensive linemen will take advantage of that. So something he's going to have to work on soon. And he needs to improve his hand placement against speed rushers, because against the faster guys, he has a tendency to have his hands get wide in an attempt to kind of steer them. At the next level, that's going to draw a ton of flags. So overall, Barton was a really good player. I really liked what I saw from him. And again, this is coming from a dude who does not really, really enjoy interior offensive line play. I cannot stress that enough. But I gave him a 79 overall, which translates into what? Early third round pick. So don't be surprised if you see him go late second. Just depends on when the run on guards and or centers start. So I would say that he has a really good chance at, you know, someone nabbing him near the end of the second round, but definitely somewhere in between the early to mid third round would be my guess.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Next up, Christian Haynes. UConn Huskies. Hoo-wee. This was another one of those guys that I really, really enjoy watching. Haynes is, he's an athlete. He can definitely move. When I'm talking about like right off of the top, I was really impressed by his short area, like lateral agility. It popped right off of the tape. Really solid blend of explosiveness, power, and technique. He fit like seamlessly into a zone heavy scheme at the next level. He's almost like the perfect build and type of player for that. The leg strength is really impressive, and even though like he's only around like 315 pounds, he can really anchor down and hold his own against power rushers. So, you know, when talking about interior offensive line play, you're going to have some really big bodies depending on the type of defense you're playing against, where you're going to have to literally sit in that chair, drop your butt, and anchor down, because if not, you're going to go for a ride regularly. We saw enough of that last season, didn't we? But he's also better than average, or has better than the average punch on the inside, and another guy with like Mortal Kombat finish mentality, talking about until the whistle blows or as the play is going on, if he gains leverage on you, he can get you on skates, he's trying to put you under the field. And that is the type of mentality that you want to have from your interior offensive lineman. So when we're talking about like a fit for the Chargers, though, I think he's probably better suited for a zone scheme, so that doesn't necessarily make him a fit in this next iteration of the Chargers offense. But if you put on like another solid 10 to 15 pounds, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, he could change my mind. The athleticism is there. The strength is there. He's just a little light pants. You get what I'm saying? Now, as far as some of the areas that he needs to improve in, like I said before, he's not really scheme diverse due to his size. Some of his tape heading up in power set looks are not great. It's mostly due to his inability to move guys that like have more sheer mass than he does on the interior. So again, just got to put some bricks in your pants, my man. And you still work on hand placement and pass protection. His mitts can get wide at times. We talked about that a little bit with Barton. You want to get those more so on the inside of players' pads. You don't want those exposed to draw flags. So he has a tendency to also maybe panic just a little bit when he gets overwhelmed, whether it's beaten by power, which is mostly how it happens. He handles speed guys pretty well. You want to keep those hands nice and inside, locked to the inside of the chest plate. You don't want them outside of the shoulder pads. It's just, again, in college, they'll let it fly. It's still called there, but not nearly as much as it'll get called in the NFL. So, again, another player that I enjoy watching, granted, a guard. And so where he ended up graded out is at a 78. So not that much lower than Mr. Barton, a tick or so lower. So we're talking about, yeah, still an early third round prospect, somebody that if he ended up in the second round, I would not be shocked by. Next up to bat is one of those names that has probably, well, you know what, actually I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna save that one because technically he could be a sleeper, so I'm gonna hold off on that one. Let's talk Christian Mahogany, Boston College. Now this was fun. Again, for me, having to take time out to study these dudes at a position that I really dislike having to watch. I know I've said that about 50 times, but I cannot stress enough. It's the truth. It is hard for me to watch it. Not because I don't understand it. I do. It's just boring. Anyway, Christian Mahogany from Boston College, a guard from Boston College. Stop me if you've heard that before recently, but a little bit different game than Zion in this way. Here's your interior bully. I mean, like that old school glass chewing me on the playground after school, up that lunch money man. The kid who was probably like held back twice. This is that dude. He's got that mentality. His first step, elite. He's not a tremendous athlete, but man, he fires off the ball and it is a thing of beauty. I mean, I would rewind tape just to make sure that there wasn't some sort of pixelation issue on my computer, because it was happening so fast. I'm like, man, for a guy that large, his feet should not be that fast off the line. But indeed, it was accurate. He's going to get the first nickname of the offseason from me, because I'm calling Buddy the Punisher. Like, you see that baby face? I mean, if you're watching this, you can't really see it. He's got a helmet on. But whenever you go and investigate, maybe want to take a gander at what some of these dudes look like without a helmet on, don't let that baby face fool you, man. He's a mean, mean cuss. Like wolf in sheep's clothing. And he's looking to end any poor soul he gets his hands on. His combo blocks on inside zone are pure violence. So, yes, You found someone that really piqued my interest, whose tape that I enjoyed watching for the entirety of the time that I watched it, for the good and the bad, just because of how physical he is on the interior. And when you're talking about whether or not this is a fit for the Chargers, yes, Jim Harbaugh probably watches this kid and salivates. Hoo boy. I mean, his punch is jarring. Like, he can temporarily paralyze everything from zero to three tech. Doesn't matter what you play. If he gets his hands on you, he's going to do something that literally shocks the life out of you for at least a second. You're going to have to regroup. And as a puller, dude gets busy. I don't know what's worse, like getting caught upfield vertically and getting ear holed by him, or him having like an you having your chest open parallel to the line of scrimmage and him having a shot at you squared up and then driving you into your own personal Gatorade bath. He's that type of player with that type of mentality and that type of power. As far as scheme versatility goes, I would say that he definitely needs to improve in the passing game. But if we're just talking purely in the run game, like a power versus zone scheme, I think he could do both. Again, not a fantastic athlete, but in close quarters, he's got enough movement to really handle his business in either or, even though I would prefer him in a power scheme. As far as the areas that he needs to improve in, I mentioned this before, he isn't the most limber of interior offensive linemen. Like, he's tight and kind of clunky in space. It doesn't look all that great. The quicker three techs will get like a solid pass, or if they have a solid pass rush plan at the snap, they can really throw him off of his balance and pass protection. It's just one of those things where, like, if he isn't technically sound, athleticism can beat him. He can get beyond that with power if he can latch onto you and get his hands on you. But recovery is going to be a tough thing for him because he's not a top level athlete, just isn't there. And yeah, mentioning this right now, the lack of overall athleticism is really apparent in like his footwork, which is really sloppy at times. As much as I like his punch, his hands still need a lot of work. I mean, there were too many times on film where I watched him either shoot his hands late, or they were really low and he was exposing himself to like losses right off of the snap, like by way of finesse moves or counters. So he's got to work on that, and he can play really, really high at times. This is where being one of those dudes that has an issue with bend hurts you. This is why he loses the majority of the time when he does, because he has a lack of flexibility. And look, I would say get my guy into some Pilates, yoga, or pure bar classes, and he'll be okay. But right now, if he's playing against guys who can get, who have a lower center of gravity and are just bendier, more flexible than he is on the inside, on the defensive line, then he's going to struggle a little bit. So the technique has to be sound, and man, they just got to stretch this dude out. Like, he needs some work there in a very major way. But overall, man, I loved what I saw from him. And again, we talked about whether or not he would be a fit in the Chargers scheme. I believe that he would in a power scheme. And he could put some work in his own scheme as well. But I gave him overall a 72. So he's more of a late round, late third rounder. If he went a little bit higher, I would not be shocked because of just the just raw physicality of his game. If you are a power team, he probably moves up your board significantly. So yeah, the Chargers probably have him graded a little bit higher than I do. When I just look at the overall work he would need, I wouldn't expect him to be like an out of the wrapper star year one. But if he was, you know, under the right tutelage, wouldn't be shocked by that either. But man, that was some fun tape to watch. Like, if you just like maulers, then this is your guy. So moving from the on deck circle into the batter's box, Cooper Beebe, guard from Kansas State. Look, man, it's BB. I've seen people try to get fancy and say Bebe, like, you know, Hurricane Chris, hey, Bebe. You look, nah, chill out. It's BB. Unless it isn't. And if you can prove me wrong, cool. But his mama named him BB, I'm gonna call him BB. Anyway, dude has like that classic tree stump build for a guard, but he is somewhat nimble, which surprised me when I was watching his tape. He also showed some really good positional versatility. Of his 941 snaps in 23, 122 of them came split between the left and right tackle. So if you need him to do that in a pinch, he can, although wouldn't recommend it. Doesn't really have the size or the length to do it consistently, but it exists if you need him to, I guess. He gets out surprisingly well on pull blocks. So there is some pretty decent footwork there. Not a high-end athlete. Not as much of a plotter, though, as his build would suggest. And he's probably one of the smarter interior guys in the class. Like, it hardly ever looks like he is stuck in the mud when he's scanning for work. His feet continuously move, and he knows where he's supposed to be. He's very rarely out of place. And I'm a big fan of his anchor against power rushes. Like, his ability, and I mentioned this before, to sit down and absorb contact was very, very impressive. He just has the perfect build for it. You might, you know, off the line of scrimmage, get him to move back a step and a half, but after that, like, he'll throttle down and you're really not going anywhere. You're gonna have to come up with some sort of counter to finish off the rep. And he also shoots his hands pretty quickly to gain inside positioning. So there was a lot to like from Cooper. Overall, though, I think I heard him being kind of touted as maybe the top of the interior offensive class where guards are concerned. And I didn't see that, but I did see enough on tape to understand why a lot of people like him. When we're talking about not really negatives, but areas that he needs to improve. Like, even though he moves well for his size, he definitely wouldn't be considered a high-end athlete. Mentioned that already. He really has to win with timing and technique, because he's cooked if he loses, particularly against speed, because his feet are slow. So this hinders his ability to gather and recover. It's not pretty when he loses. Just like flailing around, looking to grab. And like, when he loses, it's very evident, because plays get destroyed. He just doesn't have the athleticism or quick feet to recover, and it could hurt his game at the next level. When you're not a high-end athlete in that way, and you don't have that as a secondary ability to fall back on, you have to be a technician. Those 31 and a half inch arms really put him at a disadvantage where, like, his punch is concerned. I didn't see a great punch from him. But, I mean, there's one that's there, but those kind of T-Rex arms forces him to have to, like, generate a ton of power in a super condensed space. So, less than ideal. But BB was a good prospect. Again, didn't love what I saw from, like, the six or seven games that I watched. But maybe I'm just not enough into his tape to feel what a lot of other people are feeling about him. I really don't see how much would change based on what I watch, but I do have him with a 70. So talking about late third round dude, maybe high fourth. I'm sure the league has a higher grade on him than I do. I've seen a lot of other places that, again, like I said before, I have him near the top of the list where the interior offensive linemen are concerned. Just not really my cup of tea. As far as his fit for the Chargers, it would make sense. I like him in the run game, but he's someone that's going to need development in his pass protection, just because, again, right now he's leaning kind of on his build and the fact that he is an okay athlete in short areas, but that's not going to serve him across the board at the next level. He's going to have to be technically refined, and I mean, like, a significant amount of work. But again, I do like his presence in the run game. I think he can be a finisher, but, you know, short arms as a guard aren't a huge thing. Like, you kind of want them shorter, but his arms are, like, some on film, they look comically short. It's like God made him and then got to the arms and was like, you know what? You want to see something funny? Blah. And then just left it. Called it a day. Whatever. It's not your fault, Cooper. You'll be all right at the next level, one way or the other. Maybe at center even. We'll see. Anywho, moving right along. Next guy up on the list, because you know we had to. We got to. Jim Harbaugh is the coach of this squad. So he made the list, not just because of that. Like, there's some parts of his game that I think make him a viable option. Zach Zinter, guard from Michigan. Now, the first thing that jumps off the tape at me is how well Zinter anchors for a taller, lighter guard. That's not common for someone that's like 6'6 and a shade over 300 pounds. That's usually like a recipe for more powerful, low center of gravity interior defensive lineman to feast, but not against Zinter. He won't dominate power rushes, but he gives them hell. Similar to BB, they might win with like an initial surge, but where BB doesn't do a great job of this, I think Zinter does recover and forces them to kind of counter. But definitely not a high-end athlete, so don't get that twisted. I just think technically he might be a little bit better. I'm also a big fan of his smarts at the second level. He is not an athlete by any stretch of the imagination. Well, I mean, he plays college football. He's going to play in the NFL, so no disrespect. He's an athlete, but when I'm talking about just God-given ability, doesn't have a ton of that where movement skills are concerned. But he does have a high-level grasp of angles, so he'll cut off like the more athletic linebackers and box safeties, and he'll get work done at the second level for sure. And when you're talking about like those Harbaugh bred players, fits it to a T. He plays with like a ridiculous nasty streak, and he wants to bury anything he can get his hands on. Probably ideal for a gap or power scheme, partly due to his ability as a combo blocker. So yeah, clearly he'd be a fit for the Chargers. He's going to walk into an offense that he's super familiar with, and Harbaugh knows him. So if we're talking about a dude that you want to maybe get your hands on in the middle rounds, because I think that's where he'll go. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's talk about the negatives first, and then we'll give him a grade and let you know where I think he'll fall. He might actually have like my least favorite attribute of an offensive lineman. You've heard me mention it throughout the show so far. He is like the consummate waistbender. Like on top of that, he's top heavy. Like he'll need to become much stronger in his lower half to not be a liability on the inside at the next level. So, hey, Ben, Mr. Herbert, come get your mans. He needs to at least double up on leg days every week, at the very least, because I'm not sure what was happening at Michigan. Maybe he wasn't getting all his carbs, his macros were off or what, don't know. But just gotta build some more strength in the lower half. And again, dude 6'6", that might be tough to do, but it'll serve him well at the next level if he doesn't, you know, put some mass on towards the bottom half. He's going to have some hard days ahead, just because if you're talking about some of the more twitchier interior offensive linemen, again, that low center of gravity, it'll create some very difficult matchups for him in the NFL. So got to work on that. Also don't love him as a primary pass protector. He'll need to find his home in a power gap heavy scheme just right out of the gate. So Chargers, ta-da. His mentality is to be a dominator in the run game. He's a grinder. So at least early on, the scheme versatility isn't very appealing. And he's also still working his way back from a broken tibia and fibia late last year. So keep that in mind. I mean, he should be around ready in the summer, but if you have to put him on the shelf for a bit, all good. He's going to be more of a developmental player in my eyes anyway. That being said, now we can talk about the grade. I have him now at a 68, so high fourth, mid fourth round pick. I think that's about right for him. Definitely somebody I can see the Chargers grabbing in the middle rounds. And if they have to make some adjustments on the interior, maybe move some guys around, him already having familiarity with the scheme, might be able to get him on the field a bit earlier, whereas somewhere else, maybe a bit more of a project. So those are going to be like my top five guys. Did I give you his grade? I did. Now for my sleeper. I started to mention him a little bit earlier, but I wanted to hold off because, number one, you may have started to hear about him a little bit, specifically after the combine. I think I heard his name a few times here or there. Just because, you know, every draft cycle, there's going to be that kid that, you know, is coming out of the FCS that starts to make noise, and the real draft Knicks who eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff. have been on him for months, and then they just start gaining a little bit of steam. He falls into that category. And I'm talking about Mason McCormick, guard, maybe even center from South Dakota State. Jackrabbits. From what I watched of him on tape, I didn't watch a ton of his tape. It was a little difficult to find, but I did get a few games. And let's start here. He definitely like helped his stock at the combine. Like he has some significant testing numbers. I want to say he finished in the top two in four of the seven tests. So athletically, it appears to be there just from a testing standpoint. Now he's raw, but he shows some scheme versatility, and he has an IQ to identify games and stunts on the interior. Definite plus for him. He's logged over 3,000 snaps, so he already has the experience as his base moving on to the next level. So he's someone that is going to need some refinement, but he's not as raw as some of the other prospects that you would see from that level. And from what I saw on tape, I mean, the technique is a work in progress, but he has some stuff to work with. I was happy to see. He does a really good job at using his length and pass protection, especially against bull rushers, power rushers, man. Like he can really extend and keep those dudes at bay and anchor down. You know, even if they beat him off of the line, he can find his footing and get some extension there and keep the quarterback safe. So absolutely something to work with for sure. And he's surprisingly solid in his movement skills, especially as a puller. So he has the temperament that you want to see in a more power or gap centric scheme, because he's looking to put dudes into the ground where he can. Now, as far as some of the things that he needs work with, I mean, of course, the level of competition is always going to be in question coming from the FCS. And I'm a little curious about his ability to recover against the more athletic interior defenders. I'm not sure that I'm overly confident in it at this point. I saw some solid stuff on film, but I don't really know how great his footwork is. Again, the testing would say that he's a very good athlete, so I'm not thinking it was some sort of illusion. I saw him win, again, it's like lower level competition, but still stood up pretty well. But I just want to see it. I mean, you want to see all of this at the next level, but he's someone that I do have a bit of a red flag yet, because I want to trust my eyes, but also have to take into account what I saw at the level he played at. Also, is his anchor really that solid? He looks a little lean in his lower half. Feels so weird talking about dudes and hefty lower halves and all of this. Just, it's football though. We got to be mature. But I'm not going to say he has skinny legs, but they are a little on the lean side. So he's someone who would absolutely have to get in a weight program, and it's the NFL. He will. But some people also have frames that only can get to butt such a point when we're talking about just overall being able to add mass in certain areas. He looks like he has a frame that he can improve upon that with. And when we're talking about whether or not he would be a fit in a Chargers scheme, I think you can make do with him. The athleticism is there, the desire is there. Like when I mentioned his ability as a puller to really like lay in the guys and look to displace them. So I think he could fit. From what I've watched on tape, he seems to have the body type and athleticism that can fit in more than one scheme. So yeah, if you're looking for quality depth there, also another developmental player who you can probably plug into either the guard or center spot, here's another one of your guys. And my final grade on Mr. McCormick, I have him, believe it or not, at a 72. So he's another late third round guy, maybe early fourth round. There's a lot to work with there. Some raw tools and ability. And again, I mean, you know, it's the underwear Olympics, tapes over tights, of course, but he did display some solid athleticism, which sort of kind of translated over to the tape from what I saw. Just need to watch a little bit more of him to feel whether or not I can say I'd be okay with the Chargers taking him confidently. But this is another one of those names that if you see go earlier than what you expect in the draft, like maybe a mid high third round dude, if he found his way to sneak into the back end of the second round, I would not be shocked. He's just a hot name here in the last few weeks, specifically post combine. And so to wrap this up, let's review these final grades. Graham Barton, number one. on the list, coming in at a 79 overall, so an early third round guy. Followed behind him there at number two is going to be Christian Haynes from UConn with a 78. Then, surprisingly enough, Mason McCormick, 72 overall. That was my sleeper, but I would probably flip them. I'd have Christian Mahogany, who's tied with McCormick at a 72, just from play style, and I would say having a bit more polish, I would put him above McCormick, but it's just the way the grades worked out. Christian Mahogany, Boston College with a 72 overall, so they both have late third round grades. Cooper BB right behind them with a 70 overall. And then finally, Zach Zinter from Michigan, 68. So early fourth round, if he were to sneak into the round three, and maybe, but I think he's probably like solidly there in the fourth round. So those are my grades. Those are my top five guys. And with that being said, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What am I talking about? 6. Pardon me for not being able to count today. But that's my list. And here in the next few days, you will be hearing from both Garrett and Jamie handling the tackles and centers, respectively. And then we'll put together our grades collectively and see where we all came out. And continue to tap in with us throughout draft season, leading all the way up to the big week in April. Actually, next week, we're going to touch on the defensive line group, which has some really interesting names that the Chargers could and probably should avail themselves to come that week. But you guys know the drill. Per usual, we appreciate you. We love this community. We love bringing you guys our thoughts and opinions. And we like getting your input. But if you could, like, share, sub up if you haven't. And we'll catch you on the next one. See you next week. Till then, gone.